In a chapter of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, called Polishing a Tile, Shunryu Suzuki says, when you become you, Zen becomes Zen. This business of polishing a tile comes from this story, which I'll read as appears in the Old Mirror chapter of Dogen Shobo Genzo. When Nanyue visited his hut, Mazu stood up. Nanyue said, what have you been doing these days? Mazu said, I have been just sitting. Nanyue said, what is your intention in just sitting? Mazu said, I intend to become a Buddha. Then Nanyue picked up a tile and started polishing it on a stone near Mazu's hut. Mazu said, Master, what are you doing? Nanyue said, polishing a tile. Mazu said, why are you polishing the tile? Nanyue said, I am trying to make a mirror. How can you polish a tile and make a mirror? Mazu asks. Nanyue said, how can you do Zazen and become a Buddha? So, often, this koan is used to point to the fact that we can't become any more Buddha than this one thing that is we and the universe already. Zazen is not a thing, a process, a practice to make one thing into another thing. This is related to sitting as the non-attained Buddha, the Buddha who sat on the Bodhi seat for 10 kalpas, 10 aeons, and the Dharma was not manifest. Why is this? Yes. Because he was a non-attained Buddha. Nothing to attain, nothing to transform, nothing to do. This is how that polishing the tile koan is often interpreted. Dogen points out, however, that perhaps for hundreds of years, as of the 11th century, people have been getting this wrong. Dogen says, people have been interpreting this great story for hundreds of years as Nanyue's encouragement to Mazu. Is not necessarily so. The activity of a great sage is far beyond ordinary understanding. Without polishing a tile, how can a great sage have the skillful means to make a true person? The capacity of making a true person is the bones and marrow of the Buddha ancestors. Indeed, at the moment a polished tile becomes a mirror, Mazu becomes a Buddha. At the moment Mazu becomes a Buddha, Mazu immediately becomes Mazu. At the moment Mazu becomes Mazu, Zazen becomes Zazen. It is not that the tile is rough. It is just that a tile that is a tile is polished. To actualize the work of making a mirror in this way is the endeavor of Buddha ancestors. There is a mirror that is brought forth as a tile and is actualized as a tile. There is a mirror that is brought forth as a mirror and is actualized as a mirror. Of course you have to polish a tile. Of course, polishing a tile makes it into a mirror. Of course, sitting upright, unmoving, entrusting ourselves to this one thing that is we and the universe together, entrusting this moment to this moment, this brings Buddha forth, the Buddha of this moment. The nature of wind is permanent and it pervades everywhere. And because this is true, we fan ourselves. Buddha nature is continuously unfolding. And because this is true, we show up to this moment of Buddha nature. Fanning ourselves brings forth the permanent, all-pervading wind. But no more than the stillness before fanning. Each moment of zazen brings forth this moment, but no more than the previous moments. Dogen is very clear, emphatic, throughout all of his writings, that we don't do a thing to make anything happen in zazen, and it is of utmost importance that we do zazen, that we show up to that not making anything happen. And then, having shown up to a moment of not making anything happen, entrusting ourselves fully to that moment, the mirror is brought forth. And then a new moment comes. And again, we polish the tile to make a mirror. In the Dogen piece, we read Menju face-to-face transmission. This is a splendid opportunity for Buddha Dharma to enter into mud and water. This is a splendid opportunity for Buddha Dharma to enter into the mess of us and the universe, into the mess of our life, into the mess of our shared life. If you do not realize the fruit at this moment, when will you realize it? And if you do realize the fruit at this moment, when will you realize it? Each moment needs to be met. Each moment needs to be received. Each moment needs to be entrusted to itself. Moments of thought arising, moments of no thought arising. Moments of clarity and spaciousness, moments of contraction and confusion. Clearly being present to contraction is polishing the tile. The tile is itself a mirror. It is not a deficient mirror. It is not that the tile is rough, it is just that a tile that is a tile is polished. It is not that there is a problem with your you-ness, the universe's universe-ness. It's just that we show up and entrust ourselves in this moment to this moment. If you do not cut off delusion at this moment, when will you cut it off? But don't imagine that having cut off delusion in this moment, delusion is therefore cut off. Receiving, meeting, bearing witness to the arising of story in this moment, the arising of a story about those prior moments of Zazen when things weren't really going well and now you're going to really redouble your effort. And then a future moment will be the good moment where the mirror is polished. Don't imagine it works like that. If you do not become a Buddha at this moment, when will you? I'm going to suggest an alternative to become, although become is fine. We can also say, if you do not affirm a Buddha in this moment, when will you? If you do not meet a Buddha in this moment, when will you? If you do not sit as a Buddha in this moment, when will you? And if in fact you do not sit as a Buddha in this moment, then there's also this moment. And if you miss that one, wait, here. Wherever the awareness arises is the opportunity to meet that moment, to sit as a Buddha in that moment, to awaken to that moment. Even if that moment is a story about a prior moment. And how many moments of Buddhahood you missed? 24 and a half minutes. But this, we do, we meet this moment when we can. And that time is always now. This practice is not nothing. And the longitudinal effect over our lifetime of continuing to do this practice is not nothing. It is a path of transformation. It is a path of great release. And what we are transformed into is ourselves. And what we are released into is our life. And although this is true, this is not nothing. It is not nothing to sit as a Buddha in this moment. It's also not a thing. It's not an activity. It's not a content of consciousness. It's not a knowledge. One of our Zen ancestors, Shido Munan, says, originally, it cannot be taught or learned. When you do not know it, it is unknown. When you know it, it is still unknown. Our practice of Zazen is knowing it and leaving it still unknown, not encapsulating it in a hard shell of this is it. This coming and going sesshin is a splendid opportunity to polish a tile, to bring forth the mirror that is the tile, to bring forth the mirror that is a mirror, to bring forth the tile that is a mirror. At the end of this Minju piece, Dogen says, diligently examine this in detail. This is something that he says a lot through his writing. Diligently examine this in detail. Examine this thoroughly. And this too is what our Zazen is. Diligently examining this in detail. The detail of this moment. The detail of this Buddha. The detail of this tile. And don't figure it out. Don't imagine you know it. But diligently, diligently examine it in detail. When you know it, it is still unknown.
Please make yourselves comfortable. We'll have our Dharma dialogue. Josh, I had chosen that same part of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind for my talk tomorrow, but I actually like this talk better than the one that I was going to give. So I'm very grateful. I can now move on.
The exact words you said, but they really struck me as wonderful about depositing us ourselves into our lives.
Yeah.
And that's just it so encapsulates like everything about practice for me.
Mm-hmm. That's actually your word, and it's beautiful. I said releasing ourselves into our lives, but I love this depositing ourselves into our lives with the glacier of the universe, the roaring river of the universe gathers us up and deposits us right here in our lives. I love it.
I also think so where do you put yourself for safekeeping? You deposit it into this moment. Put yourself right here, and your deposit will accrue interest over time.
And it's a direct deposit.
We could go a long way.
And the problem with those kinds of deposits is that those safety deposit box can be burgled. They can be broken into, and then it can be stolen, and then you're screwed. So how can you prevent yourself, protect against such a loss? And the answer is to give it all away. Lana?
I was happy about how you pointed to that you do accomplish something, like you get more freedom or you experience more life, because it balances that everything is here, but we also sit here with a purpose in.
The whole practicing Zen portion of practicing Zen is actually kind of needed. And so we practice. And
we do tend to get stuck on one side or the other. You know, and in Josh's talk, he actually said both things, which is also what Dogen says in that beautiful story about the fan. You know, and some people have used the polishing the tile story, at least in the 20th century, to say, you don't even need to sit zazen, like, who cares? But that's not the teaching. That it really isn't it. And so it's, you can feel the falling on one side. Oh, everything is already here. Right? So great, so reassuring. I'm going to go, you know, to the mall. And then the other side is, oh, because going to the mall is practice. And going to the mall is practice. That's where it gets subtle. And we really do put energy. We rouse a great spirit. And we can feel it. Some people who, in the coming and going session, who just came briefly, have talked about, whoa, stepping in, and the train's moving really fast. That's just not hanging around. Right? There's something very dynamic in this practice. And then if we get, if we kind of make a fetish out of that, then we're so it's always this, you know, both.
I'm Esther.
Esther, great.
So when you said something about examining diligently. And not figuring out. So I get this image of, you know, sort of how we experience the world oftentimes before we might take up a practice like this is from here. And so sort of spreading out awareness and where information can access to the entire body. Body mind.
Yeah. This is a point that I meant to make, that we diligently examine it in detail, not with our mind, but with our spleen, with our scapula, with our hair follicles. Diligently examine this in detail.
And so I would say also we examine this with our life. And it's not just the sitting in zazen, but there's something about these questions, you know, that we come here and these questions arise and we think, oh yeah, that's really something important, right? But it's not about figuring it out in my head, as you point out, right? It's so then, you know, we're aware of this, right? And we move into our life with this question and see, you know, so how does this impact my actual life, right? And my actual life is actually a way to practice with these questions that come up for us here in the Zendo. At least that's how it is for me. So, thank you.
Yeah, and diligently examine how do you become the Buddha of this moment in your moments at the mall, in your moments of struggle. Yeah.
I loved your entrusting ourselves to the moment. It felt like just letting go as opposed to really trying hard. It felt very, very different from that energy, which I know I can do, or it's going to be better in the future. So it felt like a diamond to me. I love this passage, this story of being polishing the tile, and this notion of become yourself. It's something that this phrase I first encountered, actually Nietzsche, he says, become who you are. And I'm always puzzled by that. When you think about other phrases people use, like be yourself, just be yourself, or transform yourself, like be something better, have some ideal of what you want to be and try to do it. But this idea of like become who you are, like who you really are. And when I think of, polishing the tile, what really comes to my mind is just how you're cleaning off the dirt and seeing what's there. And I think with sitting in Zazen, in our daily lives, we're just so busy and distracted, that this just ability to know who you are, to be yourself, is difficult sometimes. So I think sitting is this great opportunity to be in the moment, be yourself, without all the distraction that you're constantly faced with.
Yeah.
And outside pressures and who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to act, the expectations on it.
Right. You're pointing to the preciousness of this opportunity when all we have to do, the entirety of what we have to do is just to be who we in fact are. Yeah, that is the gift of time set aside for Zazen.
And this is a subtle teaching of this becoming who we are. What's the word you used instead of becoming in the affirming? That there's a kind of affirming who we are. I like that better because the becoming can get intellectualized into I'm not that, but I will be. Again, that's the trap, right? And this affirming, it reminds me of, the teaching that the seed of an oak tree is already an oak tree. The acorn is already the oak tree. But it has to actualize itself to be seen as an oak tree. But it's not going to become a magnolia tree, ever. It's an oak tree already, but this actualizing, this is nice, another word, actualizing, affirming, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing you said, Josh, was meeting. Appreciating all these aspects, affirming, meeting. So what we meet is none other than the Buddha. None other than the self. And the real gift of safety and privacy here on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because so we don't look around at each other, so we don't have to try to be ourself. We can be as undone as we are or whatever is here. But we intentionally simplify everything. So not, as you say, all these distractions, of course, are practice, but some great opportunity here in this just one thing. You know, the bell rings and we stand up. And what a relief to let this settling, to let ourselves finally be who we've always been.
And you use the phrase of cleaning away the dirt. And sometimes the one we meet is covered in dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a dirt mirror.
That's right. And going back to the acorn metaphor, the acorn is complete in itself. Right? The dirt on the hand is complete in itself. That's it, too.
Jenny?
The longitudinal effect on my life. Expand that.
uh, it can be easy to fall into wanting to see a thing right here. This little snapshot is totally different, totally improved. But the our lives do transform. And Dogen also says, and when you experience this transformation, he says, realization, you do not think, oh yes, this is exactly how I was expecting it was going to go. And it is no expectation is has in the history of time ever been right. And yet, we can see it. We can see there's something in Steve's Dharma talk recently, he pointed out Dogen calling the voice from the deep. We hear it, and we actually do see it happening. And this is why we come back for a second sesshin, even if the first one wasn't what we expected. So, and what is the longitudinal transformation of your life? What are you meeting?
I was given a job that I'm not qualified for, but
human.
There's no one better than I am.
Oh, were you talking about a different job?
Yeah, all of them. And doing that job, the thought came, this is what I've been training for.
Yeah. The job of Jenny.
But so Jenny, was it about doing the job well, right, and knowing that, you know, the stuff that needed to be done, and, you know, or something else?
Was what about doing it well?
This something that you got from having this job that you felt unprepared for. Something came forward, right? Isn't that what you were saying?
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if it was something other than just, you know, learning how to do the job well.
I guess it was being willing to do the job, not knowing how to do it.
Yeah.
And showing up and doing the job right in the middle of the not knowing, right?
Yeah.
This spirit of, you know, this is, you know, it's important for me to treat this as practice and meet my life in the form of Aizen practice. And when we do that, something shows up, right?
Thank you so much for your talk. And so this becoming who we are, actually I heard that in a different way than I've ever heard it before. And for me, it was, it points to this mystery that different people are sort of pointing to. And what struck me today was, I don't know who I am. So this becoming who we are is like, it's not like, well, let's see, I'm supposed to be this, and how am I going to get, you know, how will I get there? And I thought about ordaining, I thought about becoming a priest, and it was like never in my mind that that was something I would become, ever. You know, but this becoming who we are, this sort of living into it, living into my life, and this thing that Steve and Jenny were talking about, that something arises and there it is, and of course things arise, and then of course we can say no or we can say yes. You know, we do get these opportunities, at least I think we do. Right? But something pulls us or pushes us or gets down inside and makes room or something, you know. And So I heard it more as this sort of invitation to become who we are, not knowing ever who that really is.
Yeah. I love this image of gets down and makes space. And I was just hearing that as, and it's not that it gets down and then it takes up space. It gets down and it makes
it, it strikes me that when I was listening to Jenny and Steve and you, the way we usually know things is through our intellect. And when Dogen says diligently examine this in detail, it's easy to misunderstand that, right, and think, I've got to figure this out.
Study this, yeah.
And then the mind comes up, so we're given the job that we don't know how to do, which Josh identified accurately as being human. And the mind rises up and goes, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. That I'm not the one who can. And then there, in the diligently examining with the whole body, as Esther entered in with this important part of this whole thing, this is not just sitting around thinking, right? Although sometimes that is what it is. And then that's it too, but I won't go there. This not knowing knowing, right? This oh yes feeling of the self that I think I am is so limited. And the mind comes in and says, I can't do this. And then that sentence in the mind, many of us have that, transforms into, I can't do this. And then a certain kind of doing happens that that's really feels physically different. Right?
And for me, a great liberation was, oh, I can't do this.
So all of those.
Well, I just wanted to, so this thing you're pointing to, Melissa, not relying on what we think we know, I think is exactly what Dogen is saying here by polishing, right? He's saying, so examine this in detail. Don't rely on what you think you know here. The activity of polishing, right, is the examining. So what's actually here, you know, and working with it, you know, clearing off the dirt that's on the top, not with the idea that it's never going to be dirty again, or that we're accomplishing removing something. It's yeah, so it's really here. Let's work with this.
There's a beautiful moment in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind after this story when Suzuki Roshi's talking about another line in it, and I don't know if it appears in Dogen, but the line of Nanyue says to Ma, do you hit the horse or do you hit the cart? Mm-hmm. Right? And so the mind goes, oh, you hit the horse, and you know. And actually, it's a cool thing because it's a pun. The name Ma in Chinese means horse. Matsu is the master of the horse. So do you hit the horse or do you hit the cart? Right. Well, then later, Suzuki says, after kind of playing with it in the way that these folks have, he says the cart and the horse. If you think the cart and the horse are different. That's not it either. Right. So, you know, because there's a logical mind. This is related to I can't, and all the other implications of that. Right? Everything is being accomplished. And if we think that we are not part of that accomplishing, then we miss the point of the fan story, too. So I think with that, we will go back to accomplishing, not accomplishing, for a few breaths.